L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is Mike Tagliare. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarrisAdian and at Mike Tagliare NFL. Tags, how you doing?
I am doing good. I'm already moved on to week 15. I know we have another game, you know, during week 14. There's actually a couple playoff matchups that I have that are hinging on this game. Yep. But I'm basically filling my day with, obviously, week 15 research because that's what we do. And I really... I know that I remember how I used to be back before I did this for a living is that I all day at work, you'd be thinking about that Monday night game. And I know there's a lot of people out there that have this game hinging basically on what it's going to mean for their fantasy lives, because obviously we're in the playoffs. So it's a good week, man. How about you?
Fine. Whatever. I see. This is the way we do things. You're robust in the way you talk. And I'm like, I'm OK. Meh. I'm good. Just hanging out. But I am excited for our guest today. That's what I've got. It's Sigmund Bloom, co-owner of footballguys.com. You can find him on Twitter at his name, Sigmund Bloom. Sig, thank you for popping on the show today. How are you?
Great. Really, it's invigorating, the fantasy playoffs, even though it's also disappointing and gives us things that will haunt us for the rest of our lives. So, you know, if we don't say Rosebud on our deathbed, instead we say Miles Sanders, yeah. Some of us will know what that means.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, and obviously we do this for a living. I'm still haunted by decisions that I made like 7 or 8 years ago. There was one game I can remember. It was Josh McCown when he had the great year tags for the Bears. Mm-hmm. And they were going up against the Cowboys. And I think it was Monday night or something like that. And I had to choose because I had Tony Romo between Romo and McCown. Uh-huh. And I wound up choosing the wrong one. And McCown scored like, I don't remember what he had tags that night, like 5 or 6 touchdowns. Do you remember that game, Tags?
Yeah, you're using the term very loosely. There's no Bears quarterback that's ever had a great year.
Well, ever. I mean, for McCown, you know, who's been in the league for, you know, 80 years, whatever. Anyway, I made the wrong choice. I think about it every night before I go to bed to try to make myself become a better person. But anyway, hopefully if you were listening to this podcast, you survived and you are still going in your playoffs. And that means perhaps you need a little help on the waiver wire. So that is what we're going to do today. You know what we have to help you out there over at My Playbook. It's the waiver wire assistant over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. You can identify the top players to add in your league. You can view the percentage of experts who would add that player to your roster. You can get a detailed analysis of the impact on your team. That's fantasypros.com/myplaybook. All right, you know how we do it on the waiver wire show. We're going to talk about the notable waiver wire pickups at each position, starting with the running back, then wide receiver, quarterback, then tight end. We'll talk about our top 5 overall waiver wire pickups, our top QB and DST streamers, and then drop or keep, where I will list 10 guys who are kind of in that fringe rosterable category right now, and that's a little bit of a weirder group this week since we only have 2 weeks left in the fantasy season, and I'll ask Zig and Tags whether or not they would drop or keep them. But let's talk about the minor news before we start. Jalen Hurts is going to start for the Eagles next week, which is not a surprise after his big performance against the Saints. There is some optimism that both DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey are going to play this weekend against the Packers. That is a Saturday game, I believe, so you should know in plenty of time. Tags and I talked yesterday night about Melvin Gordon and having his court date, but that was pushed back, Tags. So if he does get a suspension, it's not going to be for this year, and the Broncos get Buffalo next. David Johnson is expected to come off the COVID-19 reserve list this week. Gardner Minshew will mercifully start for the Jaguars this weekend. And Ronald Jones fractured his pinky finger. He may need a pin. We don't know. Guys, I don't think there's all that much to say about this. Tags, you were checking on the roster percentage for Leonard Fournette, and it's still up. I mean, fantasy managers didn't jump off the ship just because he was a surprise inactive this week, right?
You know, it's, I mean, some may have just because he was a healthy scratch, and they're like, what do I need to hold on to a guy that's not even going to play for? But Ronald Jones dealing with that injury, I don't know if he's going to miss time for it because Chris Godwin had a similar injury, and he missed one game as a wide receiver. Catching passes is a lot tougher than carrying the football. So Leonard Fournette is still 73% rostered. But if for whatever reason, we're not going to talk about him today just because he is 73% rostered in Yahoo leagues. But if he, for whatever reason, was dropped, he is worthy of a pickup this week.
Now, it's worth noting they play Atlanta next week. Not the greatest matchup for running backs. But regardless, let's get into the people who are available. And let us start with running back Sig. Start us off. Who is your top waiver wire pickup at the running back position this week?
Well, if Mike, so this is a tricky question, right? Did everybody rush out there and pick up Mike Davis? I think he's the obvious pickup this week. I don't think we're going to see McCaffrey back. But taking that low-hanging fruit out, I'll just piggyback off of that news item with Tampa. Here's another complicating factor. Is Lynn Bowden a wide receiver or a running back? If he's listed as a running back, then maybe he is the top pickup. If not, I'll say LeSean McCoy, which really shows just how thin of a week it is, a running back. But McCoy played over Fournette last week. He looked pretty spry in his touches against Minnesota. And just based on the ranking of the running backs in the coach's mind, if Ronald Jones is going to miss the game against Atlanta, I think that McCoy should be considered presumptively the better play than Fournette.
Yeah, so this is worth talking about because I don't know about you guys. There was no indication, at least for me, coming into the game that they were going to have Fournette inactive, right?
No.
This was just a pure, what, coach's decision based on his poor performance. Was there anything else behind it? Was there any disciplinary reason? Because the question remains, if Jones is out and they know, let's say Jones is going to be out next week, do you think that they wouldn't bring back Fournette and basically say, okay, you're going to have to carry the majority of the load as opposed to McCoy? I'll ask you, Sig.
Well, like you said, there's no way to know exactly what the coach's thinking was here, but it was coming out of a bye, and byes give teams a chance to reassess things, establish new priorities. So I'm just assuming that, you know, reviewing the tape, reviewing what Fournette has and has not been contributing, they thought that McCoy was had more to offer. I don't think they thought that Keyshawn Vaughn had more to offer, although they have to try to justify their third round pick capital him. Actually, I expect it to be something like a split with McCoy and Fournette. I've just seen McCoy look viable on an NFL field more recently than Fournette.
Okay. How about you, Tags? Who are you looking at this week?
I would think that Fournette would probably be the guy that would walk into more touches, but what's the most valuable role on the team, though, this week? That's the question, because the Falcons, now after the Saints actually allowed Miles Sanders to have a good fantasy day yesterday, which still bugs the crap out of me. So after that game, the Falcons are now, again, the number one team against fantasy running backs on the ground. They have allowed the fewest points, fewer than the Bucs, fewer than the Saints, fewer than the Steelers. They are the best in the game stopping running backs on the ground, which is kind of crazy at this point of the season. We're now in week 15, so it's not a small sample size. They have, however, allowed a ton of production through the air to running backs. Leonard Fournette, the reason I think that they deactivated him was more of like they're frustrated with him. They were using him as that third down back that can mix in on first and second down. But if Ronald Jones is kind of like the same guy, right? Ronald Jones is a better version of that, but they're kind of the same guy. Whereas LeSean McCoy has 10 carries in the entire season. Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, 9 carries in the entire season. So those guys are more of the pass catching options. So it's like, hey, if we're not going to use Fournette as a pass catcher, then what the hell do we have him active for? So they decided to make him inactive. I do believe that if Ronald Jones were to miss, we'd see Fournette come back and is the 1-2 down back. But again, against the Falcons, I don't think that role carries too much value unless you're someone like Ronald Jones who can actually create yards after contact.
Okay, so if it's not going to be Fournette and it wouldn't be McCoy tags, who would you be looking to pick up at running back? And again, I think Sig summed it up. It's a gross week for running back. And I apologize to our listeners because we've said that at least the last 3 weeks, if not longer. But it's not a great week for running backs. But who would be your number one pickup then, tags?
I'm going to go with Jeff Wilson. I understand. Basically, I went to the waiver wire rankings. I put Jeff Wilson as his number one running back. And then I moved him down and I was like, damn it, he's playing against Dallas this week. Mm-hmm. I have to move him back up because he's a guy that is basically splitting that workload with Raheem Mostert, and Kyle Shanahan can change things at any given moment. But if there's one thing that we do know, it's that he doesn't give a running back like 25 carries. It just doesn't happen. So you're going to see a timeshare between these two. The Dallas Cowboys have faced a robust 26.7 carries per game against running backs. So knowing that Jerick McKinnon is out of the picture, Tevin Coleman, it's just Wilson and Mostert that we have to worry about. So if Jeff Wilson, if you were to tell me that he's going to get, you know, let's call it 12 to 14 touches against Dallas, I think he has RB3 viability this week. So if someone's in a pinch and they're just looking to start someone based on, you know, the matchup that they have and the opportunities that they've been given, I think Jeff Wilson makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I agree with how I felt when I put him at number one in my running back rankings waiver wire pickup this week as well. I didn't want to do it. I was like, this can't be correct. Like, there's got to be somebody out there who I'm looking to get. But yeah, look, they basically split snaps. I think 39 for him. Mostert had 40. He had 12 touches, 43 yards. He found the end zone. He did lose the fumble. But again, it's the Cowboys. We could be running against the Cowboys and we would be, you know, RB3s at this point. Like, that's just what it is. Their defense is so leaky. The worry is, of course, that you are relying on a Kyle Shanahan running back. And that is always risky. And so the fact that we're in week 15, I don't know how fantasy managers could deal with that. But Sig, what do you think of this? Because again, this is just something where I think fantasy managers generally, especially those who drafted Mostert and have been hanging on to him, they kind of have been waiting for this time where Mostert was fully healthy. They've got a great matchup. But it does look like Wilson is here to stay at this point. So is he somebody who you would be looking to pick up and potentially rely on next week?
Yeah, well, hopefully not rely on, but pick up, mainly just to make sure he doesn't get put in a lineup against me and score 2 or 3 touchdowns as he's apt to do at times because they like him at the goal line. I don't know if Raheem Mostert is healthy. And I guess if there's any risk with Wilson, it's that Mostert is working his way back to 100% health. And then if they see in practice, so watch the practice reports, you know, if he's getting in all full practices and if we hear anything positive, they let him talk to the media and things like that, we might get an indication that he is going to be back to the workload, the dominance over that backfield he had before his first injury this year. But I think you're right to focus in on Dallas, although I might have played Giovanni Bernard over Miles Sanders last week, so I don't know if I want to talk about that.
You would not be alone in that. And again, I apologize last night. I'm going to do it again. I apologize to all the people who I said you could start Gio Bernard this week. Okay. And unfortunately, now there's a record of it because, like, it's recorded on our live streams and in print and in all that sort of stuff. So I guess I can't get away from it. So my bad. If you survived, way to go. You're better than I am. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And you brought up a good point, Sig, which I like to just sort of talk about generally in the way fantasy managers need to be thinking at this point. It's not just about how to improve your roster at this point. It is making sure that your opponent is not able to pick up somebody and use them against you. And you think about Wilson, what happens if even this week, even if you don't use them or even if somebody else doesn't use them, what happens if Mostert goes down, you know, this week? Now, they have, of course, Tevin Coleman, they have Jerick McKinnon, but at, you know, Wilson's role would even grow. So yeah, keeping, you know, playing defense a little bit is definitely something that I think you're looking at. All right, Sig. So you mentioned obviously the Tampa Bay running backs.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Wilson. Anybody else who you'd be looking to pick up at running back this week in an uninspiring week at the position?
Uninspiring week. Look, other names to check for. I don't think Tony Pollard would be out there in deeper leagues because he's one of the high value backups, but it looks like they're splitting the work 50-50 right now. And Pollard got the garbage time touchdown. Zeke's bruised thigh might get better over the course of the week. Let's watch that. The only other name I would toss out there is Sony Michel. And again, this is how bad it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damian Harris left with a back injury late in the loss to the Rams. It doesn't sound serious, but we'll watch this. If it stiffens up during the week, it's a problem. It could be Sony's show against Miami in probably the least exciting offensive matchup of the week.
Yeah, this is gross. that's just where we are at the position. Tags, is there anybody else who you're looking at out there who might be valuable?
I mean, I think Ito Smith is someone that you can consider. Todd Gurley is toast, basically. He's just not playing really well right now. They're going to go against Tampa Bay this week. And, well, we know Tampa Bay is not a team you're going to run the ball on, and Todd Gurley's not really used in the passing game. If you look at it, Ito Smith has received more than double the amount of pass routes that Brian Hill has over the last couple weeks. So he's their primary passing down back. And the Bucs have allowed the seventh most fantasy points through the air to running backs. So if you're going to look for any sort of production, like this is dire, right? If you're all of a sudden, and you're looking at your roster and you're like, I don't have a running back to play. Ito Smith is available in some leagues out there. He should be able to give you some sort of floor. As Sig already mentioned, I think that Lynn Bowden is someone that it just depends on your league settings, because there are some leagues that he's available to be used as a running back. He's obviously being played as a wide receiver, and I think that he's actually someone that you could pick up as a wide receiver in a pinch to use him. We just found out that Jakeem Grant is going to miss a couple weeks with a hamstring injury. They were already without Preston Williams. They lost Mike Gesicki. It's dire times, man. So I know they're going against New England, but these targets have to go somewhere, and they've been creative in getting Bowden the ball. So I think he's someone that you can consider picking up as well.
Yeah, Bowden's a guy. He's running back eligible in most leagues that I play in, and I think he's like a priority pickup at this point. I probably would go with Wilson first, just with the uncertainty about the injuries. And again, who knows? You know, now that you saw how they deployed him, maybe New England can adjust to that. But that was the thing. I mean, he played 59 snaps, I believe, yesterday. The vast majority of them came out of the slot. 9 targets, 7 catches, 82. Jakeem Grant is not going to play, as you mentioned, Tags. I mean, I don't think he's been officially declared out, but he's week to week. He's not going to play. Mike Gesicki, we talked about it last night. It does not sound optimistic on him. And then you have Devontae Parker. They've got to get the ball to someone. So for me, if you can play, I mean, even if he's a wide receiver, you want to pick him up regardless. But at running back, I think he's certainly a guy. And Sig, you briefly touched on Bowden when you first started. Do you think that he's somebody who you, if the injuries go the way they look like they're going for Miami, is he somebody who you think you can get away with starting against New England next week?
Yes, and maybe not even get away. Maybe it's a story you tell your grandchildren. You know, I made it to the fantasy football final by playing Lynn Bowden. Just because he can throw passes. Miami showed a willingness to call plays where he was the quarterback. I think he had, 7 catches yesterday, so you know he's got enough chemistry and timing with Tua Tagovailoa. As an aside for Dynasty Leagues, this is exciting after the Raiders cut bait so quickly on him. The Dolphins barely had a chance to get him into the program right before the season, and it seems like it's working out. So with the full offseason with the team, I'm excited to see what Bowden can do for them, and it wouldn't shock me at all. Because the other thing is, against New England, you know, Mac Hollins, you're not going to throw it Stephon Gilmore. If anything, you're going to be trying to get those short, quick passes, mm-hmm. high percentage passes for Tua. Miami still in the playoff hunt. And it's exciting to consider Bowden maybe throwing a touchdown in this one. And if the injuries shake out so that he's going to be a starter, he would probably go to the top of the list.
Yeah. What do you guys think? I'll throw out one other name out there. And again, I don't think anybody really would like to start him. But, you know, yesterday, Carlos Hyde basically split snaps with Chris Carson, 15 carries for 66 yards. Of course, it was against the Jets, but I wasn't watching it that closely, unfortunately, because I didn't want to punish myself. But I didn't feel like all of the touches came just in garbage time when they were running out the clock. I felt like he was involved fairly early on, generally speaking, with it. So is Hyde somebody, again, he basically, you know, if he's going to get 15 touches, they have Washington, not the greatest, but Tags, is Hyde anybody he would be remotely looking at this point, or just not on your radar?
No, he's not. He's a handcuff to me right now. Washington has allowed the third fewest fantasy points to running backs. It's a tough matchup. Washington, people want to continue to disrespect them. They have one of the most talented front seven units in football. Their cornerback unit, it may not be the best, but the front seven is creating enough pressure and everything where these teams are not scoring a whole lot of points. And you go back to last week, and Carson was the guy. He was the one. I did go back and watch that. Carson was receiving the majority of the first half touches, and then they slowly just went to Hyde in the second half and kind of ran away with that. So I don't want to take too much away from it. I think Hyde is a high-end handcuff is what he is, and you really only have to hold on to him for one more week, because, well, obviously if Carson makes it through this week healthy, then handcuffs are a thing of the past. So he's just a high-end handcuff is all.
All right, so before we keep going, guys, we were talking before the show about how Monday is my wife's designated ice cream night, along with at least 4 other nights of the week of her choosing. But I'm more excited about dinner tonight because it's ButcherBox night. Do you ever grocery shop? Sometimes you look for the right meat and you just fail. It's not your fault. Trust me, I've been there. Chicken, beef, whatever. You have no idea what you're getting. You don't know what's been added to it. You don't know the quality. And that's why the equivalent of my wife's ice cream night for me is ButcherBox night, because I know that whatever we're making, whether my wife's in charge and it's like this gorgeous and pristine meal that looks like you ordered it from a five-star restaurant, or I'm in charge and we're making chicken or beef a la Dan, which is really just the meat, it doesn't matter. It's awesome. I've talked about ButcherBox a couple of times on this podcast. People have reached out now after ordering it to make sure I knew they were on the train with me. There is still room. You've still got time. The ButcherBox train does not close to passengers. So let's say you're now the smartest person in the room and you've decided to order ButcherBox. What are you getting? Well, every single month, ButcherBox is going to send a selection of high quality meat right to your door. Every box has between 9 and 11 pounds of meat. That's enough for 24 meals. And the price works out to roughly $6 a meal. All of it is humanely sourced. Everything is packed fresh, delicious. No antibiotics or added hormones ever. You can select the box that they offer, or you can customize it to get exactly what you want. So you can choose from heritage pork, free-range organic chicken, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, of course, 100% grass-fed and finished beef. They have free shipping nationwide other than Alaska and Hawaii. And right now, ButcherBox is offering free bacon for the life of your subscription for new users when they go to butcherbox.com/fantasypros. Little special Dan Harris bacon tip for you. Put a little bacon in your vegetable dish that night. Your kids will start to like beg for vegetables going forward. That's free bacon every box for the life of your subscription when you go to butcherbox.com/fantasypros. Again, butcherbox.com/fantasypros. All right, let's get to wide receiver. And, you know, we said it was a gross week for running back. Sig, do you feel the same way about wide receiver? Is there anybody out there who you think might be able to help fantasy managers immediately?
There are a lot of players, actually. There's a lot of churn, and depending on where you're at, you might even look at starting one of these guys. And again, there's questions. I would probably say right now my top pickup this week, and it's really close, and there's four or five players that are pretty close at the top. Without knowing Julio Jones' status, as it may affect Russell Gage, without knowing the quarterback for New Orleans, as it might affect Emmanuel Sanders. I don't know if Sanders is out there in a lot of leagues or not. Let's just go with the simplest, most straightforward case. That's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And what you get to hook yourself to here is Aaron Rodgers playing at MVP level. It's still Valdes-Scantling and Lazard are both getting about 70% of the snaps, but Valdes-Scantling actually caught all six of his targets. And you get that game against Carolina. They just gave up four touchdown passes to Drew Locke. You saw KJ Hamler separating with ease deep. So that gives you a good chance at Valdes-Scantling doing that once, maybe twice. As he seems to be back in Aaron Rodgers' circle of trust.
So, Tags, what do you think? He's got MVS has six targets exactly in three of his last four games. Are you willing to, you know, is he your top pickup at wide receiver?
He's not, just because there's just so much uncertainty. He's one of those guys that you can grab and just say, you know what, I hope this is the game where Rodgers throws it to him, because he had that Achilles injury that he popped up with a couple weeks ago. And from that time, I think it was the last two games, he really do anything. And it was like, all right, well, is he kind of a forgotten man now, because we see Tonyan stepping forward, Lazard's getting healthier, the running backs are going to do their thing. And obviously, Valdes-Scantling had another big game. I don't know if I want to trust it against Carolina. Carolina is a team that I don't think they're going to be able to hang so much with the Packers. I don't think that's going to be a high scoring game. I don't mind it. I have him as my number three wide receiver this week, just because of who he's tied to, Aaron Rodgers. But we've had moments where with Valdes-Scantling where we want to trust him, like when Devontae Adams was out of the lineup and we're playing him against Atlanta. I remember that Monday night game like it was yesterday, because I played a lot of DFS and I had Valdes-Scantling in like the captain spot, and he drops an easy touchdown that, you know, good wide receivers make. He's not a very good wide receiver. He's talented, gifted athletically, but not that guy. My number one is, I had Russell Gage, so I definitely love Gage, because even if Julio does play, Tampa Bay has been burned up in the slot. Sean Murphy bunting is the weakest link in that cornerback unit, so Gage should have a solid floor. And I also think another guy that's in that conversation for top wide receiver for me is Chad Hansen.
Yep.
I mean, he has Deshaun Watson is throwing the ball somewhere. That team cannot run the ball. Even if David Johnson comes back, I really don't care. It's not like he's average. He's not going to total over 100 yards in the ground or anything like that against Indianapolis. And you look at what Hansen did the last time they played this team, just 2 weeks ago. He posted over 100 yards. He's getting targets in the lineup. And again, the Bears, you know, Bears and Colts were two good pass defenses. He's caught 12 of 14 targets for 157 yards. And now the Colts, Xavier Rhodes looks like he suffered a bad knee injury. I don't know the severity of it. I haven't seen anything come out, but he basically couldn't walk off on his own power last week. So I doubt he plays this week. So that secondary had slowly been like being gouged for a little bit more, you know, pass yards as the year went on. And losing Rhodes, he was their best cornerback. So I think Chad Hansen deserves to be in that conversation.
Yeah, Hansen's actually my number one. And again, I'm not overly inspired by necessarily anybody. I do think that MBS can help you out in a pinch, and I agree with Russell Gage. Hansen, though, is a guy who, you know, again, he's 14 targets, 12 catches over his last two games, and I realize that Brandon Cooks was out in this one, but it's not really Cooks, I think, that affects him. I think it's just the fact that Will Fuller was out, and I think that Cooks really affected Stephen Mitchell. So I think that he's just going to be in this, you know, in the lineup basically every single snap. He's going to be getting the targets because, again, as you said, Tags, Deshaun Watson has to throw somewhere. And as you mentioned, he beat this matchup 2 weeks ago. So he's a guy who I think, man, you just need a wide receiver three maybe this week, because somebody who's going to get you points if your roster is stacked otherwise. I do think that Hansen strikes me as perhaps the most reliable option that's out there. Sig, what do you think about Hansen as a pickup?
I think because you're tying yourself to Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. this matchup, it's good. I mean, I want to give Kiki Cutie the center stage, of course. But yeah. Hansen's been more reliable. Cutie really disappeared after his early touchdown. So I think you're right to highlight that, as especially in your PPR leagues, a safe high floor option, maybe not a high ceiling option, as smoke is starting to come out of the hood of the Texans offense, and you just wonder how much Deshaun Watson has left in him. You know, it seems like he's getting discouraged, but I won't argue against that for sure. And it's great to see. One of the things about these 16 man practice squads is we are seeing some players, hey, Laquon Treadwell sighting, you know, we're seeing some players get opportunities they might not have otherwise gotten in a typical season.
Yeah, all right, that's fair. So Sig, anybody else that you're looking at? Because you mentioned a few names. Yeah. You mentioned MVS. Go ahead. Come up with your next one.
Yeah. A couple of names to keep in mind. And again, depending on how shallow your league is, you know, maybe Nelson Aguilar is out there. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that old school AFL shootout on Thursday is Tyron Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Williams left with a back injury. You remember he had back issues in his rookie year. It's a quick turnaround. I don't expect that he's going to play. We'll see. But if he doesn't, Johnson stepped in, got the targets, got the production. Justin Herbert, you know, this is exactly the kind of meaningless game. Well, it's not meaningless. The Raiders are still in the playoff hunt, but come on. 38-35 kind of game. You could hook on a Tyron Johnson. He's got a huge ceiling. KJ Hamler and his ceiling, of course, and it's Buffalo. You know, Drew Lock might just try to wing it out there. I feel like I need to mention Keelan Cole with Gardner Minshew back out there. Mm-hmm. Cole scored in three of his first seven games with Minshew in the lineup. Also had a 6-for-143 line during that seven-game stretch and caught Minshew's only touchdown pass yesterday and led in targets after Minshew entered the game. And the last one I'll mention is James Washington, as painful as it is for me to mention that, because of Deontay Johnson. And now it almost seems like he's one step from the end of the plank. If he drops a pass early, it's going to be James Washington, and it's going to be James Washington against Cincinnati. So Washington's already been making plays not as a full-time player, but now there's a door open for Washington that Deontay Johnson could slip, his hands could slip off the knob while he's opening it, but Washington can walk through it.
I do want to talk about Washington a little bit, Sig, if that's okay, because yeah. I mentioned it, you know, early on when, you know, we were putting together the waiver wire list. Just generally speaking, we get a list of widely available players. And, you know, I looked at Washington, and he's a guy who we talk about Deontay Johnson. And yeah, once Deontay Johnson was benched, he was out on the field. But you know what? After Deontay Johnson came back in the second half, similar to the week before, it was really Chase Claypool who was losing the snaps mm-hmm. way more than Washington. So my question is, look, you mentioned it's a great matchup against Cincinnati. I love Chase Claypool, but I don't know. It seems like Washington may be the guy who's going to be on the field way more, in which case, does he need even a Deontay Johnson sort of injury or six more drops or anything like that to right. become potentially a viable option right now going forward, and especially in this matchup? Can't you think he's somebody? They're going to pass. You know that it doesn't matter what the score is going to be. They're just going to pass. They don't run the ball. Is he somebody you can throw out there?
It's still dicey, only because he hasn't caught more than he had five balls back in the Houston game. It just, he's not a high volume receiver. And honestly, both Claypool and Washington feel dicey because Roethlisberger can't get the deep ball dialed in at all. That being said, Claypool had two touchdowns in the first matchup. Roethlisberger threw four. But I think that was before his knee injury, so I don't know how much that is affecting his efficiency. Washington, I suppose if you want some sort of mantra when you plug Washington in, it's that he's a good player in a bad matchup. I mean, in the sense that he's facing a bad pass defense. So things can absolutely work out. You know, we saw him get free against Washington for that long touchdown. So it can absolutely work out. It's just a question of Ben Roethlisberger's ability to throw accurately when Washington is open downfield.
There is a 95% chance I'm going to talk myself into starting James Washington in one of my, because I'm just going to be like, well, you know, ever since that Baltimore game where they needed that catch at the end of it, and there was all that, you know, Roethlisberger said, if there's one player he wants to throw the ball to when he really needs a catch, it's going to be James Washington. And then he catches the touchdown in the next two games, and Chase Claypool is suddenly non-existent. So I'm going to be like, you know what? James Washington, wide receiver 20 this week. I'm kidding, everyone. So, Tags, what do you think about James Washington and Tyron Johnson? Because he was on my list, too, as an intriguing option here, which you assume, as Six said, that Mike Williams is not going to be able to make it back, at least for a Thursday night game.
I don't think I could trust him in my starting lineup, no. And I say that because, you know, it is a matchup against the Bengals. And while it's a good matchup, it's almost like what happened with the Cowboys last week. It's a victim of incompetence on the other side of the ball. I know you're saying they're going to pass the ball. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Roethlisberger is dealing with actual knee injuries, and I think that's why he's struggling with the deep ball a little bit. Washington has not – I mean, this week, was the first time he's topped four targets since way back in week six. And I think we can naturally just say it's because Deontay Johnson was benched for his fumble and why he got up to that six-target mark. So can you trust a wide receiver that's getting four targets? Is it basically a ceiling? I don't think so. I think the bigger question for me is not so much, do I trust James Washington? It's now, do I trust Chase Claypool? I don't know. Sig, you're close with the Steelers. Obviously, that's your team. So I always respect takes when I hear it from, you know, people that watch the team. They listen to the team closer than I do. How do you feel about Chase Claypool? Now, I know this is not waiver wire related, but I want to talk to you while you're on the show about it and say, where do you think you're going to have Chase Claypool ranked this week?
Not that high. Let's say a what the heck flex or a boom bust wide receiver three flex type. And the one thing you do have going for you here is in this first matchup, he scored twice. And also, he can still be the top option when they're close in, which they should at least get down there a few times against Cincinnati. Not as much worries about them playing down to their competition because it's a divisional opponent, although that didn't work in the Baltimore game with Robert Griffin III out there. I just think that you don't have any momentum here. And especially you don't have any momentum with Ben Roethlisberger, and that's the problem. So with Claypool, what you really want to hit is that deep ball, that long touchdown, and I have no faith in Roethlisberger. And I wouldn't be surprised if Cincinnati does better this time around just because the Steelers' offense has become so predictable, and we'll see about the running game and James Conner. I think a lot of people will be wanting to play James Conner this week, but the Steelers' offensive line is also a finesse offensive line at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so...
They're not getting any push up front, none.
None. And look, I'm a neurotic Steelers fan. So whenever, which is redondant, really. Once they lost to Washington, I thought, well, they'll be lucky if they win one game other than the Bengals game the rest of this season. They'll be lucky if Cleveland loses to Baltimore. So at least the Week 17 game won't be for the division. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at. So maybe I'm not the most reliable reporter here.
Yeah, I'm really frustrated with it because I felt like Claypool had worked himself in. I mean, Tags, we used to talk about it. What do you do with the wide receivers, with the Pittsburgh wide receivers every week? I'm like, I rank them all right next to each other as wide receiver twos, and I just leave. You know, that was where I was at. And I agree with Sig. I mean, maybe borderline wide receiver three at this point for Claypool, because there's just no way you can trust them. And I mean, in one of the leagues, I survived because I had a couple of big performances. I started Claypool. There's no way I'm going to be able to do it next week. I'm definitely going to be looking for other options. And I think fantasy managers are in the same boat. Tags, any other names that we haven't touched on yet that you think could be intriguing? One guy that I was thinking about was potentially Gabriel Davis. We were talking about the Denver secondary, and I assume John Brown is not going to come back for this. I think he's eligible in this game, but I'm going to assume, given where they are, given that it's Brown and, you know, you want to take care of him with the injuries, that he wouldn't be back this week. So Davis was the only other guy who stuck out to me as maybe somebody who fantasy managers could pick up.
Yeah, he's basically the only other one I would be considering. And it really just hinges on John Brown, the fact that we don't know if he's going to be available. But I was operating under the assumption that he would be available for this game because it didn't seem like it was going to be a month long injury or anything like that. But I think it was saving him for his own good and say, hey, we're going to shut you down for 3 weeks, dude. Just take it easy, relax, and then come back. And
we've seen it. The problem is, Tags, that we saw, right? We saw him come back from his initial injury, and then we were like, what is happening? He's out there, he's playing, but he's not really getting involved. So to me, where you are in Buffalo, they have the division, you know, locked up at this point. There's only one bye. They're not going to be going for the bye. They're not going to get there, I'm sure. So it seems to me that they would be, you know, they're able to move. It doesn't matter who's playing wide receiver. Josh Allen's playing at a borderline MVP level at this point. Strikes me as they'll be a little extra cautious with him, and the fact that I haven't heard anything on him whatsoever makes me think that maybe he won't play. But regardless, I get where you're coming from. Go ahead.
No, yeah, that's basically what it comes down to, because if John Brown is out, I would say that, yeah, all of a sudden, you know, he becomes an option. Gabriel Davis does, because he has been producing with the opportunity he's been given. You look at the matchup against Denver, and not only were they down their three starting cornerbacks for last week, they lost one of their backups, Duke Dawson, to a torn ACL. So, I mean, they're legitimately starting backups to backups in Denver. So that team is going to start bleeding points. And that's the thing, is like, you could say, okay, well, they're bleeding points in the ground too, but Buffalo doesn't have a run game. Let's be real. I mean, they're just not a team that's going to rush, you know, 30 times for 200 yards against you. So Josh Allen is going to drop back to pass. And Gabriel Davis would be someone that, you know, if John Brown is out, do you get to the point where you're saying, I might start Gabriel Davis over Chase Claypool with the amount of snaps and targets that he's not getting or not getting, whatever way you want to look at it. So it's pretty ugly right now. But if you're looking for a Hail Mary play, it's not the worst one.
Sig, neurotic Steelers fan, if you know that John Brown is out, would you play Gabriel Davis, do you think, over Chase Claypool next week?
I certainly wouldn't talk someone out of it. Probably, honestly, just because it's the hotter quarterback and he's finding a way to convert opportunities. That's the other thing about Chase Claypool. Sometimes his hand technique can be frustrating when you're watching the target, incoming target. There have been targets that feels like he should have been able to make a better play on the ball than he did. I haven't had this moment with Gabriel Davis. He's, dare I say, a little more refined, even though he's not as physically impressive. So sure, I don't have any problem with that. And again, you're looking at the Denver secondary, the no-name secondary, and absolutely this could be one for Gabriel Davis to maybe catch two touchdowns. I know he almost had another big play last night in addition to the touchdown he caught.
Yeah. Meanwhile, if you are able to win your fantasy championship starting Chad Hansen or James Washington or Gabriel Davis, I want you just to screenshot it and send it to us on Twitter. All right, let's go to quarterbacks here. Now, look, I mean, if you're playing in week 15, you think that you're probably okay at quarterback, but there are people who have been streaming all year long and have made it this far. So if you are looking for a quarterback at this point, Sig, is there anybody out there who you want to pick up?
Yeah, and let's not forget two quarterback superflex leagues, you know.
True.
There's always churn there. Drew Brees? Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's out there in your league. I don't know if he's going to be back this week. You know, Jalen Hurts is an obvious one. Mitchell Trubisky probably was added. Drew Lock, depending on how deep your league is, you know, there's a flicker of hope there, but it's Drew Lock. So I guess, I mean, are we back to Gardner Minshew? We're back to Gardner Minshew, aren't we? We're all the way back to Gardner Minshew, which is, you know, time is a flat circle and all that. It's Baltimore. It's not a great matchup, but that just shows how thin it is at quarterback. If you're looking for somebody that's gaining value right now, might be on the waiver wire.
Yeah, it's not a great week. For me, it's Hurts, Tags. I mean, that's really the guy who just stood out. I mean, as the only guy. What about you, Tags?
Yeah, for sure. Last week against the Saints, it was not a week where I wanted to play him, but I wanted to stash him just to see what would happen. And the Saints coming into that game, fun fact, they had allowed 68 rushing yards to quarterbacks the entire season. It was the lowest in the league. So to see Jalen Hurts rush for over 100 yards against them was fantastic. And now you look at a matchup against Arizona in what should be a pretty fast-paced game between these two offenses. The Cardinals have allowed the fifth most rushing yards to quarterbacks this season. So Jalen Hurts, I mean, not only should he be able to get it done through the air because the Cardinals really don't have that great of a pass rush, but he should be able to get it done on the ground. They're a team that's really been struggling as of late, like stopping the run in general. So Miles Sanders should have a field day. Jalen Hurts also, just because Corey Peters losing him up the middle of the field, that defense that already lost Chandler Jones earlier in the year, they just don't have the guys on the defensive, on the front seven to stop, you know, this rushing attack. So Jalen Hurts is the clear cut number one for me, while Trubisky is probably number two. I like Trubisky last week. I actually started him in a league. Once I found out Julio was out, I started him over Matt Ryan, and it's going to win me that matchup, so I'm pretty happy about it. But Trubisky is a creature of habit, and if you look at how he has played against Minnesota in the past against this Mike Zimmer defense, it hasn't been great. Now, with that being said, this Mike Zimmer defense doesn't look the way it used to, right? I mean, this secondary, the cornerback unit specifically, has been, you know, terrible, and they are, you know, they're missing one of the starting linebackers last week. You just have to kind of look at all that stuff, because David Montgomery is not going to carry your fantasy team against Minnesota this week. So Trubisky is someone that desperate owners, like if you're looking for a streaming option, he'd probably be my second option behind Hurts.
Yeah, it's really Hurts or bust for me. I don't know. I'm thinking about what I'm going to be doing this week, and Hurts just strikes me as somebody who I'm going to rank as a borderline top 12 option. I can't tell for sure. Like, I haven't done a deep dive yet, but he's somebody who I think even in single quarterback leagues, and at the very least, what we said earlier, which is I don't want my opponent who could be struggling at quarterback picking up Jalen Hurts and playing him against me at this point, just because there's such a high floor with the rushing ability. But yeah, other than that, maybe Trubisky, but it's just not the week, really, other than Hurts, I think, if you've been streaming quarterbacks. How about tight ends here? This is always something where there's usually one or two names who I feel like we can pick up and maybe survive on. Anybody standing out to you, Sig, at that position?
Yeah, there's a lot. And by the way, I'll just want to point out, Hassan Reddick did have 5 sacks yesterday. Maybe give the Giants line an assist. And also, the main thing with picking up Hurts, if he is out there,
yeah,
and obviously he's the number one guy if he's out there. Similarly with Breeze, you know, depending on whether leagues have IR slots and things like that. It's week 16 against Dallas that you really want to make sure, even if you have Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Russell Wilson, go ahead and pick up Hurts to make sure that he can't hurt you there. Tight end, I would say the top would be Jared Cook this week, if he's still out there. And I don't know if I care now. I mean, I care, but I don't know if it matters whether it's Taysom Hill or Drew Brees, because it's a Kansas City matchup. The tight ends did excellent against Tua Tagovailoa. Was targeting them all day against Kansas City. We saw Hill trust Cook late, and he went up for that ball. So, I mean, it's Jared Cook. He's one of the quintessential boom-bust players, but there is a big boom there for him if Kansas City gets ahead in this game, which I would expect they would. So he would be the top guy if he's out there.
How about you, Tags? Who's your top guy?
Yeah, Jared Cook is not a bad one. Just because I looked at that, because he'd been someone that was almost like third on the team in tight end snaps for the last couple weeks with Taysom Hill under center. But then this week, all of a sudden, he jumped up and he played 36 snaps where Adam Trautman played just 15. So that's massive for Jared Cook, because he ran 29 pass routes. Again, this is something that you have to pay attention to. So maybe there was an injury in there to Cook that they were basically limiting his pass snaps. I know that there was some bad play that could have led to that as well, but he's been playing better as the last couple weeks. Kansas City is really, really good against wide receivers, so I would think that Jared Cook could be an interesting one. Number one on my list was Cole Kmet. You know, I talked about this last week and the fact that I was a little hesitant to pick him up, and I don't love any streamer this week, because you look at him. I mean, I could run through him real quick. Irv Smith, we don't know if Kyle Rudolph's going to come back, and if Rudolph's back, you can't trust him. Jordan Reed in a matchup against Dallas, we don't expect San Francisco to throw the ball a whole lot. Jordan Akins, a rematch against the Indianapolis Colts, a team that's been dominant against tight ends all year long. Dalton Schultz against the number one tight end defense in the 49ers. I could go all day on this. So the streaming conversation is pretty ugly if you're looking for someone that's under 40% rostered, but Kmet has been seeing the targets now. I think he had 7 targets again this week. week or six, whatever it was. But going against Minnesota, the reason that they're not one of the teams allowing the most fantasy points to tight ends is because their cornerbacks have been so bad that wide receivers have received a majority of those targets. But the Bears clearly are thrown to their tight ends more between Kmet and Jimmy Graham. And when tight ends are targeted against Minnesota, they're allowing the third most yards per target to the position. So Kmet is starting to come around as a rookie that, you know, he's making his way up the list as we get further and further in the season. And as a rookie tight end, there's definitely a learning curve for that position more than any other one. So to see him come on late in the year is not really surprising. And he's, you know, the Bears obviously felt it was necessary to draft him in the second round. So Kmet would be my choice right now.
Sig, what do you think about Kmet here?
I just don't know whether it's Kmet or Jimmy Graham, but I think a Bears tight end is a fine. I've added the what the heck tight end. It's just like the what the heck flex kind of play where if you just have to, like you said, tell yourself a story to talk yourself into starting somebody. I could talk myself into starting either one of these Chicago tight ends. I think Graham gives you better shot at the touchdown. Kmet gives you better shot at leading in catches and targets. And we're back around to trusting Mitchell Trubisky in the fantasy playoffs again.
Yeah, and Dan, real quick, I just wanted to throw this in there. So the snap count for Kmet, it has gone over the last four weeks, actually. He went from 70%, 79, 78, and then 85%, a career-high 85%, whereas Jimmy Graham is basically playing sub-50% during that time. So they're clearly moving to Kmet, and yes, I'm with Sig in the fact that Jimmy Graham is still that red zone presence that they're going to use. But, you know, when we're looking at tight ends, we're looking for a floor. I mean, every week, dude. We look at tight end and Hunter Henry, someone that's always ranked as a top five option, right? Like every single week. That guy, I looked at it earlier today. I mean, it's not very good for him. And it's weird because you rank him there because he's getting the targets. But in terms of like tight ends in general, if you can get somebody that gives you four catches for 40 yards as like a floor, you're pretty happy with it. And I think Cole Kmet is there.
So Sig, let me ask you about another name that tags are out there, and it's Irv Smith Jr. And again, it probably does depend on Kyle Rudolph's injury, but let's say we know he's going to be out. Let's say it comes out even earlier before waiver wire pickups. You know, he caught all four of his targets, 63 yards and a touchdown. He didn't really see the uptick in snaps, though. I mean, Conklin was really out there for more of it at this point. So would Smith be a guy, one of, if not your single top target at tight end, if we know Rudolph is out against the Bears who struggle against tight ends?
You have him at number two, assuming Rudolph's out. And it is that idea that we don't necessarily stop at snaps in the analysis here because he got four targets. He caught all four targets. He scored a touchdown. He looked good as a receiver. And I would expect that if he plays, even if he only plays a small number of snaps, he'll be in as a receiver mainly. And hey, 4 for 63 and a touchdown, that's like elite tight end scoring these days.
Right, yeah. Hunter Henry wishes he could have that anywhere, and he's always top five tight end. All right, let's get to our top five overall, 1 through 5, any position. Sig, start us off. Who are your top five?
Jalen Hurts, Jared Cook, Russell Gage, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, Russell Gage, and Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay. How about you, Tags? Top five.
Jalen Hurts, number one. Jeff Wilson, two. Russell Gage, three. Chad Hansen, four. And Lynn Bowden, five.
All right. And I've got Jalen Hurts, one. Chad Hansen, two. Jeff Wilson, three. Lynn Bowden, four. And my best friend, James Washington, number five, because he's going to take me down in all my semifinal matchups. Okay. Let's get to our top QB and DST streamers. I mean, QB guys, we just talked about it. At this point, streaming QB doesn't really make sense. No. There are 2 weeks left, so we're talking about it anyway. So we're picking up Jalen Hurts if we can, and we would probably start him, and really everybody else is just kind of a void, right? Maybe Mr. Trubisky, whatever, but whatever we can do, right? We're just going to go to DST. I'm making the editorial call. We're going to DST. Let's go DST. Who's an option that's widely available here, Sig, who you might be looking to pick up and stream this week?
And the interesting thing here is I write the streaming defense column at Football Guys every week. It's not always apparent who's available and who's not. Mm-hmm. Who are the defenses that people have held on to all year? Baltimore and Pittsburgh, basically, I think. You know, so, it, you know, if we, and there's some other low hanging fruit, okay, like the Rams against the Jets, obviously,
right?
You know, that's obvious. I would say the next one would be Kansas City. Just, is this the week it all comes crashing down for Taysom Hill? You know, is this the week where they fall behind by two or three scores and you see a lot of the deficiencies? I think it could turn into an ugly game. But that being said, this week, there's no fewer than like seven or eight options. So the good news is, if you're streaming defenses, a few of these options are going to be out there. It's the way the matchups have worked out. It seems the way that injuries have worked out to make some offenses weaker. There are a lot of options, and I mean, we could probably do a list six or seven deep, and six or seven is pretty close to one and two.
Yep. How about you, Tags? Who are you looking at?
I went through, so I do the article for us, you know, like where I look at streaming defenses the week before. So I'm like, hey, stash this team before everybody wants to go grab them. There was not really any teams that were sub 40% owned that I felt great about. But if there's one that was teetering on that, it was Washington. It's really weird to say play a defense against Seattle. However, if you look at the Seattle team before they played the Jets this week, because the Jets, that shouldn't count for anybody. Russell Wilson had been sacked 40 times. That's the third highest number in the NFL. The Washington generates, I think, the third highest pressure rate in the NFL. They've generated a sack on 8.3% of dropbacks. They do bring the pressure. Chase Young has the athleticism to keep up with quarterbacks. There was a play he made this past week where he had to drop back in coverage and then was like, you know what, I'm going to go after the quarterback anyway. And he goes and gets the sack. The guy's a freak. And then on top of that, Russell Wilson, when he's pressured, he has, you know, thrown 11 interceptions this year. So it's not like he's incapable of throwing interceptions. And again, let's not let one good game against the Jets dictate how Russell Wilson was playing, because he wasn't playing particularly well before that. Washington is just, they've been a really good defense. I don't anticipate this being a very high scoring game, especially knowing that, you know, maybe Dwayne Haskins is starting for Washington. So I think Washington can actually give you a floor with a couple sacks, maybe a turnover and a low scoring game.
Sig, what do you think about them? Because I think most people are going to see the matchup against Seattle and just freak out and run away from it and not want a part of it. Would you bother streaming Washington this weekend?
Sure. You get Chase Young in your lineup, you know, that alone. I'm not as optimistic about them as I am some other options, just because I think that Russell Wilson is going to be able to operate well enough to keep himself from being in the kinds of situations where they're going to pin their ears back and come after him. We may see a little more Chris Carson. Remember, before the game against the Jets, it seemed like the Seahawks wanted to get back to more balanced offense. I also just wonder if Washington's offense can put up any points and make it so that there's going to be situations that they can attack. But after what they did last week, look, there's a really simple, I can't remember who it was among my followers. Y'all know like Occam's razor. Mm-hmm. There's Occam's waiver, which is just pick up the highest scoring team from the week before, you know, it was Washington. So why not?
Yeah. All right. I like it. Good enough for me. Let's finish up with what's up, Tiger?
No, I'm just laughing at you.
Of course you are. Of course you are. That's how we roll. Okay, drop or keep. We're going to finish up 10 fringe rosterable guys. And I don't know, we got a little flavor on this one because it's week 15. I don't know. We could drop anybody at this point, which is basically how I looked last week. So let's start with some Steelers then. Sig, right for you. Drop or keep? We talked about him earlier. Drop or keep Chase Claypool?
I think you got to keep him just because he has that two or three touchdown upside. You know, we talked about Xavier Rhodes being out. That could affect the Week 16 matchup. So just because of what he's demonstrated, I'll keep him.
Tags?
Yeah, I'll keep him. And especially if there were an injury on the team, like all of a sudden he would be the number one waiver wire pickup. It wouldn't even be that close.
Yeah, I'm dropping him. I get it. But and for me at this point, I'm not starting him this week. There's almost no chance I'm starting him this week. And if something happens to another wide receiver and they go up against Indianapolis and you're like, man, we got to get Claypool, there's probably one other team that you're fighting it out with to pick up the player. So I'm willing to take the risk if I need to. Again, this is sort of if I need to make the move to pick up somebody, I'm willing to do it here with Claypool. Never spite drop. We all know that. All right, let's go to you, Tags. Let's stick with the Steelers. Drop or keep James Conner.
Let's keep, I guess.
All right, Sig, what do you got?
Yeah, you got to keep him because he might have 15 carries for 40 yards and 3 touchdowns this week.
Ugh, it's so gross, but I agree. Keep, but it's really gross. Drop or keep, Sig, Michael Pittman Jr.
Like, I'm dropping him for Russell Gage and Marcus Valdes-Scantling and some of those guys we've talked about. That being said, it's still Houston this week, which, you know, maybe they try to double team T.Y. Hilton and it's Pittman's week. So Phillip Rivers is playing well enough that I'm wary of dropping him unless it's for someone that I feel better about.
Yeah. And I think, by the way, that really should be the line at this point. It's week 15. If you're like, I would prefer one of the waiver wire wide receivers and Pittman Jr. is the guy who I can drop, then you drop him. Then I think that would make him a drop for purpose of this. What about you, Tex?
Yeah, I agree. I think you can, unless you, I mean, if you, unless you feel confident starting him this week against Houston, it's a great matchup. But T.Y. Hilton has seemingly taken over that number one role. They should be able to run the ball all over that team, just like they did a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, Pittman's a drop for me.
Yeah, I'm a drop as well. Again, I roster him in a spot. I'm not going to feel comfortable starting him. There's no reason for me to hold on to him if I can pick up one of these waiver wire wide receivers, tags, drop or keep any Texans running back.
I guess you could drop. I mean, I don't want to play David Johnson against the Colts. It's a terrible matchup.
How about you, Sig?
Yeah, they haven't been effectively using David Johnson as a receiver. Mm-hmm. The only caveat here is they do get the Bengals in week 16.
Right.
But then it's more like a sabotage drop. Paul Charchian coined that, where you're dropping someone hoping your opponent picks them up and plays them.
Right. Go ahead. Do yourself a favor. Start David Johnson against me. I'm willing to take the risk of this matchup. Let's go to drop or keep, Sig, any Bills running back?
Oh, you can drop them. I think that at this point, it's just the usage. There's a glimmer of hope with Devin Singletary 2 weeks ago after Moss fumbled. You know, Moss put in some good work at the end of the game to help ice it. You might get a touchdown. You might even get two touchdowns out of Moss, but this is Josh Allen's offense. And I can't even talk myself into playing Moss this week.
Tags.
I'm trying to think, because we were talking about the guys you drop, like in terms of the waiver wire. And, you know, I have Jeff Wilson as my number one. Would I drop Jeff Wilson for Moss? I think it's right in that territory. I think I'm probably going to wind up with those guys in the same territory this week, because Denver is a good matchup. And I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of competition on the other side of the ball. That's teeter totter, man. I'll let you be the tiebreaker, Dan.
Sure. It's drop. There you go. It's drop for sure. There's no way. And again, even with Zach Moss, like we talked about, we thought it was going to be Singletary because Moss fumbled early on and then didn't see the field again forever. Why am I even going to take the chance on starting either one of these guys? Out of here. You're dropped. Okay. Let's go to tags. Drop or keep any Jaguars wide receiver.
Drop. You don't even want to be tempted to play DJ Chark again.
Okay, Sig, you mentioned Keelan Cole as a potential waiver wire guy, so maybe not a drop for you. So how do you feel any Jaguars wide receiver?
I mean, he's second tier because of the matchup this week against Baltimore. Next week against Chicago is still not a great matchup. So yeah, he's not a high priority guy, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cole has some success the next 2 weeks.
And to be clear, Sig, do you prefer Cole to DJ Chark at this point?
Yes. Yes, because Chark's been getting the targets. It's just not happening. Chark was calling out Minshew, remember, earlier.
Yep.
Maybe the thumb injury, you know, they kissed and make it up and everything's okay. But it's clearly Cole who has the chemistry with Minshew right now.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to you, Sig. Drop or keep CD Lamb.
I guess it's a drop because – so one of the things you're thinking about is – what are you afraid of? You know, what has CD Lamb done since Andy Dalton was in that you're afraid of missing out on? I don't think he's had a game at the level of Gage or Valdez Scantling's game last week or Chad Hansen's game the last 2 weeks. So I think, yeah, it feels odd because we know he's so talented, but it's a drop.
Tags.
I agree. I'm with him.
I agree too. Absolutely right. Tags, drop or keep any Bengals wide receiver.
I'll keep Tyler Boyd. I think T. Higgins can be kept too. Those are guys that they're not exciting, but I think they're guys that give you actual floor because that defense is so bad that they're forced to throw the ball. I mean, the targets were there, 8 and 9 targets last week for those two. Boyd, you know, against Miami the week before that, cut that long touchdown, then was obviously kicked out of the game. I'll keep those guys.
How about you, Sig?
It's that Houston matchup, week 16, when bad football equals fantasy success.
All right. Keep them. I agree. Keep them. All right. These last two are guys who I think you guys probably and our listeners will probably hear. You're not dropping these guys, but I will remind everybody it is week 15. Name value doesn't matter. And all that matters is production. So I'll start with you, Sig. Drop or keep Tyler Lockett.
Oh, you're going to keep Tyler Lockett. You're only going to keep him because of the amazing ceiling he's demonstrated. But I wouldn't be shocked if we hear that he was playing through some sort of nagging injury or something since he hasn't had those big games. But I want to use this as a moment to say I endorse spite drops. I endorse sending a message to the rest of your team. I endorse the emotions. I think that this is also the time of the year, if you're this deep in the playoffs, maybe you're picking up someone like Frank Gore, not because you're going to play him, because you want him to get a ring, because he hasn't gotten one yet in his NFL career.
So I love where your head is at, Sig. Yeah. My personal preference is to bench my entire team for the whole week right until the game. They need to know your starting lineup. Your spot is not guaranteed.
Right.
Okay. You got to show me something in practice this week before I'm going to put you back in my starting lineup. Also, I like to keep my opponent guessing. He's like, oh no, how do we prepare our defense? Don't even know what to do. Then you put him in. But motivational tactics, I like it.
Oh,
I like
wow.
it.
Sig.
How about you, Tags? You're good, Tags. You got some stuff to learn over here. Tags, drop or keep, Tyler Lockett.
Dan, I just learned that you would be the head coach that would basically tell reporters, like, who's starting a quarterback this week? Like, I'm going to keep that in house. We're not going to talk about that.
You should see when I manage Will's Little League team, Tags. Those kids are like, can I pitch? I'll be like, you're all playing first base this week, and I'll tell you who's starting right before the game. I like to mess with everybody's heads. Anyway, Tags, drop or keep Tyler Lockett.
No, you're going to keep him for sure.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's correct. But I have to throw it out there because fantasy managers are reaching out constantly being like, I don't feel comfortable starting Tyler Lockett anymore. And I just keep saying, you have to start Tyler Lockett and, you know, Washington and the Rams. But I agree. Tags, last one. Drop or keep Ezekiel Elliott.
You keep him. He's still going to get touches. I know that they shared touches last week, but that was a blowout and they just kind of took it easy on him. So I'm not excited about it. I'm really not. But running backs in a year that, you know, we think about it just last week, you know, Myles Gaskin, a guy that you were like dead set on starting as your RB2. You're like, I'm okay. Even though I lost Joe Mixon, even though I lost this, you have to start players, right? You need bodies in your lineup. And Ezekiel Elliott, even though he's not a top 20 running back anymore, he's still a guy that's going to get, you know, a dozen to 15 touches per week, probably more than that, even in bad matchups. So I understand it's not exciting to put him in your lineup, but you still need bodies at the running back position.
Sig, drop or keep Ezekiel Elliott.
You keep Zeke. I mean, I just you hope that the thigh bruise is better and he does more, and you know he still looks like he's got energy. By the way, bringing up Myles Gaskin, that's someone to look for on your waiver wire if he was dropped reflexively, because he can still be back for Week 16 and they get the Raiders. And then they'll use this last moment, since you all are kind and your audience is so kind, because you brought up Little League. And it's a pitch that I wanted to make a long time ago for a reality show where all of us fantasy experts, I'm making air quotes when I say that, so you get a like a Pop Warner Football League, and we have to coach the teams. And we see which fantasy football analyst can coach like 8-year-olds on the football field and who gets bragging rights forever. I think it would be hilarious because I think we would all take it way too seriously.
Oh, yes, we would.
Sig, you're a smart guy. You've got a wonderful reputation in the industry, but that's the greatest idea I've ever heard of any. Forget about fantasy football. That's the greatest idea I've ever heard, and I love it. And I'm just, if you've listened to this entire podcast, whatever Sig has said, ignore whatever Tags and I have said, because Sig is the only person you need to be listening to on this or any matter in life at this point going in. All right, guys, that is going to do it for the Waiver Wire Show. Sig, it was great having you on. This is the first time you and I have ever gotten to talk, so I'm really glad we were able to make it happen. Remind everybody where they can find more of you and your work.
Yeah, footballguys.com, at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter, and I'll put you down for a team when we pitch the pilot.
I will be there. I will be there. You will not want to see how much I'm in the face of my 7-year-old son and all of his friends. I will make sure they work. It's going to be like little giants on steroids. Okay. Thanks for coming in, everybody. Don't forget to check out our waiver wire assistant over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook for help with all your pickups. Thanks to ButcherBox. Guys, do yourself a favor. Get fresh, healthy food delivered right to your door. Get free bacon for the life of your subscription. Go to butcherbox.com/fantasypros. That's butcherbox.com/fantasypros. We'll be back tomorrow. Actually, Yates will be back tomorrow with another episode, and we will talk to you again, Tags and I, on the Start Sit Show.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.